Frank saw Jake Allison standing at the end of a dusty street in Abilene, Texas. And he knew something was wrong, since this moment came from his distant past. Jake was a deadly gunman with a far-flung reputation as a quick-draw artist. But Allison was long dead by the hand of Frank Morgan. Jake came toward him, his gun tied low on his leg. He wore a flat-brim hat, stovepipe boots, a leather vest with a bandana around his neck.
Time we settle this, Morgan.
Suits the hell out of me, Jake.
You've been talking about how you're gonna kill me. I'll give you the chance.
Frank began taking measured steps toward Allison, his hand near his gun.
Won't be just talk, Jake. You killed that boy and his brother up on the Leon River. They were friends of mine. I don't take that sort of thing lightly.
The sheriff ruled it was self-defense, Morgan.
Sheriff Stokes rides in the pockets of the Cattlemen's Association. The crooked outfit you work for.
You can't prove a damn thing. Them Miller boys went for their guns first.
They weren't gunmen, and you know it. They'd have never gone for a gun against a rattlesnake like you.
You talk about it tough, Morgan.
Difference between you and me, I can back it up.
Jake stopped, spreading his feet slightly apart.
Time we quit all this jabbering.
Frank kept moving closer, judging the distance, ready to make his play.
I'm done with words myself, Jake. I'm gonna give you the first pull. Go for that damn gun whenever you're ready.
You're trying to trick me.
How's that?
You damn sure won't give me the first chance at a draw, and you know it. I'm too fast for you.
A crowd began to gather along the boardwalks of Abilene to watch the affair. Everyone listened to Frank and Jake. Frank halted his strides when the men were 50 feet apart.
I'll wait till I see your hand move for the butt of that pistol.
You ain't got the nerve.
Well, we'll stand here until we both die of old age, Jake. Unless you make your play. I won't draw on a man first. If you don't draw, I'll swear I'll give you the worst beating you ever had.
You yellow bastard. You're bluffing.
One way to find out, asshole, is to reach for iron. I'll wait.
If you do, you're a dead man.
Maybe. You can piss on my grave if you're right about it.
Jake's right hand made a dive for his Colt. Frank saw the muscles in his arm tense a fraction of a second before he made the move. Frank's hand dipped for the butt of his weapon, a practiced move, one refined over many years. His gun came out, cocked and ready, before Jake could clear level. In a flash, Frank saw the fear in Jake's eyes when he knew he'd been beaten to the draw.
Adios, Jake.
Jake Allison's knees quivered. A red stain began to spread across the front of his vest. He let his pistol fall to the roadway. It landed beside his right boot. All eyes were on Jake as he took a half step backward on uncertain, trembling legs.
God damn you, Morgan!
Frank moved toward his mortally wounded adversary, still clutching his pistol. Jake sank to his knees, reaching for the hole in his chest. Frank came to a halt a few yards from Allison and the puddle of crimson forming around him.
I warned you.
Jake rocked back on his haunches with blood pouring between his fingers.
Ain't nobody that fast.
Blood began to dribble from Jake's mouth, proof a lung wound would claim his life in minutes.
Think about those Miller brothers while you die, Jake. They were kids. Young cowboys barely old enough to shave.
Like hell!
Jake swayed back and forth as he sat on his rump.
No sense arguing about it now. You're the same as dead.
The crowd around Frank and Jake parted as a man with a star on his shirt hurried up to them.
Frank Morgan, you're under arrest.
Sheriff Stokes swung a shotgun up at Frank.
What's the charge?
Cold-blooded murder.
He drew first.
Frank still held his gun at his side.
That ain't the way I saw it, Morgan. Now drop that damn pistol and throw your hands in the air.
Frank glanced around him. Half a hundred people witnessed what happened.
These folks saw it. Allison went for his gun and I defended myself.
Sheriff Stokes was about to speak when someone from the crowd spoke up.
That's right, Sheriff. Morgan wouldn't draw first against Allison. We all seen it.
Stokes gave the speaker a glare.
Now what the hell would you know about anything, Jimmy?
I saw it myself, Sheriff Stokes. Mr. Allison took out his gun before Mr. Morgan did.
Stokes glanced at the woman.
Are you right sure, Ms. Wilkinson? I sure wouldn't question the word of the preacher's wife.
I'm quite sure of what I saw, Sheriff, and I'll testify to it in court.
The sheriff's shoulders slumped. He lowered his shotgun and looked at Frank.
Maybe I didn't see things none too clear from where I was, in front of my office.
Frank holstered his peacemaker.
All this dust, when the wind blows, can get in a man's eyes.
Yeah, I reckon somebody ought to send for Doc Weaver.
No need. He'll be dead before his sawbones can get here.
Stokes spoke to him as he was striding away.
What makes you so all-fire sure of that, Morgan?
Frank stopped just long enough to glance over his left shoulder.
I put a bullet through his heart. Looks like it might have nicked his lung. Either way, he's headed for an undertaker.
Curious citizens of Abilene backed away from him as he strode from the scene. He had taken another life, adding to his fearsome reputation. Yet he didn't want things to end this way. Frank would have preferred to see Jake Allison stand trial for the murder of the Miller brothers. It seemed trouble and gunplay followed him wherever he went. He rode out of Abilene that day with a warning ringing in his ears to stay clear of that part of Texas if he wanted to avoid trouble with the law.
You were dreaming.
Frank heard the voice and focused on the hazy movement above him.
I woke you up because you seemed to be real agitated about somebody named Jake.
He recalled the dream vividly.
Jake Allison.
Who was he?
A man I had to kill. Happened a long time ago. I don't know why I was dreaming about it.
Your fever's getting worse. Pa went out to fetch some aspen bark so I can brew you some tea.
Aspen bark?
It helps with the fever sometimes. Your wound's getting worse. Pus is coming out of it now.
I gotta get back to that valley. Pine and Van Bergen will get away from me again. I lost them once, but it won't happen again.
Pa says they're still there. Yesterday, two more men came riding into the ghost town.
Two more?
Pa slipped down close on foot last night. He heard their names.
Last night? How long have I been asleep?
2 days. You woke up every now and then so I could give you some soup and whiskey.
Frank couldn't quite believe he'd been unconscious for 2 days. He could see Karen's face clearly now.
The names of the other two.
What about them?
What were their names?
One was named Cletus. They called the other one Conrad. Pa was sure hoping it wasn't that boy of yours.
Frank tried to bolt upright on the cot and could scarcely move.
That isn't possible. Conrad is safe down in Durango in the south part of the territory.
Pa only said that was his name. You can ask Pa as soon as he gets back.
Frank couldn't imagine how anyone could have taken Conrad from Durango a second time. Pine and Van Bergen were up here. Who was left among them that could take his son captive again?
Oh, your pa must have been mistaken about one of them being named Conrad.
He told me that he slipped up right close in the dark and heard him talking.
Go find Buck. I have to ask him if he's sure about that name.
He'll be back right soon. There's aspens down by the creek, and you've got to have the bark so your fever will go down.
Frank closed his eyes briefly. Was he careless to leave Conrad alone when he went after Ned and Victor? Did one of their gunmen take Conrad captive again?
Where are my boots?
Right at the foot of the bed. Only you ain't gonna be needing them for a day or two.
My shirt. My mackinaw.
Hanging on pegs over yonder on the wall. Only you ain't strong enough to get dressed yet.
If my boy is in that valley, I'm going after him right now.
You're too weak to climb on your horse.
Karen put her hand on her hips.
And if you did get in the saddle, you'd fall off on your head. You've got a bad fever from your wound.
I can manage it. Bring me my shirt and my boots.
Not till Pa gets back. I won't.
Then I'll do it myself.
Frank swung his legs off the cot, closing his mind to the waves of pain racing from his left shoulder. Wolf left his place by the potbelly stove and came over to him. Frank braced himself to stand up, leaning forward, placing his feet wide apart. Suddenly, a wave of swirling black fog enveloped him, and he knew he was losing consciousness.
I told you so.
Frank heard Karen in the distance as everything went dark around him. Cletus watched Conrad being tied to a sagging, hide-bottom chair with coils of lariat rope. A coil oil lamp lit up the room, illuminating the faces of hard men gathered inside the shack.
Here's your prize.
Cletus aimed a thumb at Conrad Browning. Ned Pye nodded.
What happened to his ear?
Diego had to cut it off to keep him quiet. He was making too damn much noise.
What happened to Diego Ponce?
I had to kill him.
Victor Van Bergen gave Cletus a one-sided grin.
You can be one mean hombre, Cletus.
Cletus looked around the shack.
I don't take shit off nobody. Now where's this kid's old man? And where's my $10,000?
Morgan is here. He's already taken down a few of our men. Then we gave him a little dose of his own bitter medicine.
He surely ain't out in this snowstorm.
Yeah, he's found himself a hiding place. Seems like he's got a partner, too. There was this rifle shot from up on the valley rim while Morgan was down here.
Where's Morgan now?
Skeeter swears he got him with a rifle shot in the back a few days ago.
Victor inclined his head toward the man called Skeeter.
How in the hell am I gonna get my money if the son of a bitch is dead?
He ain't dead. Skeeter found blood and tracks in the snow. Two sets of tracks. So we know his partner, whoever that son of a bitch is, helped him hide from us.
I ain't gonna wait here all spring to get my money, Vic. You said $10,000 for bringing a kid out of Durango to this valley. By God, that's what I got coming to me, and you know it.
We'll find Morgan. You know damn well he's got the money, much as he cares for this snot-nosed sissy kid of his.
Well, I ain't gonna wait long. I damn near froze my ass off getting him up here. This wasn't no easy place to find on that map you give me.
It won't be long. As soon as this snow lets up, we'll start looking for him and whoever his partner might be. He won't get away from us. There was a hell of a lot of blood on that snow where Skeeter got it.
Cletus walked over to the fireplace, warming his hands above the flames.
Pass me one of them jugs of whiskey. And some of them beans in this here pie. I'm half starved, half frozen, damn sure thirsty.
He noticed the kid was shivering. The bandana covering his missing ear tip was covered with frozen blood.
You might ought to feed this skinny bastard too, so as we can keep him alive until Morgan comes up with the money.
Ned handed Cletus a bottle of old rocking chair.
This'll help warm your innards until this damn spring storm lets up a bit.
Cletus pulled the cork and took a big swallow.
How come you had to kill Diego?
He was getting on my nerves. Somebody fix me some of them leftover beans. And put them horses outside in the shed. We rode them mighty hard to get here.
One of Ned's gunmen picked up a tin plate to fill it with beans. Another cowboy left by the front door to take care of the horses. But for the moment, all eyes were on Cletus.
Morgan better have that money.
He'll have it. He's worth a ton of money. And that kid's all he's got. He wouldn't have rode all this way without it.
I've heard about Morgan.
Cletus took the plate of beans, resting the bottle on the hearth.
You're supposed to be fast with a gun some years back. Smart, too.
We've got his kid. It changes things.
Ned came over to the fire.
Maybe.
Cletus filled his mouth with more spicy red beans and chunks of salt pork. He glanced at Conrad.
Better feed the little bastard. He ain't got much meat on his bones. Morgan has the money, we'll give him the boy. If he don't, I'll kill the boy and his daddy myself.
Cletus walked over to a window of the shack.
I seen a half dozen Injuns on my way down into the valley. What the hell are they doing here?
Ned shrugged.
They don't bother nobody.
What breed are they?
We ain't rightly sure. Some old geezer we talked to claims they's ghosts.
Well, the ones I saw damn sure wasn't ghosts. Besides, there ain't no such thing as ghosts anyhow. One funny thing I remember about them, they didn't have no rifles. They just sat there on skinny Injun ponies and watched us ride down.
Don't pay them no heed.
Cletus left the window to retrieve the bottle while he forced more beans into his mouth.
All I care about is that damn cash money for bringing the kid. Injuns or no Injuns, I damn sure better get paid.
You'll get your money. Morgan will try to take back his boy without paying. But we're ready for that if it happens. Besides that, he's wounded now. We got him right where we want him.
You want me to untie this kid?
Skeeter held a tin plate of beans. Ned gave the boy a glance.
Yeah. Untie him so he can eat. He damn sure won't be going no place.
Skeeter put the plate down to begin untying the rope.
My father won't pay a dime to have you release me. He left me and my mother before I was born. He doesn't care what happens to me. You've all wasted your time.
Cletus wheeled toward the chair where Conrad was sitting.
You damn sure better be wrong about that, boy. Or this is where somebody will be digging your grave.
Skeeter gave Conrad a yellow-toothed grin.
We'll be burying you right beside your pappy, sonny, if this ground ain't too froze to dig.
He won't pay.
Be damn sure better.
Ned glared at the youth with slitted eyes. A gust of wind rattled a loose window pane on one side of the shack. Cletus almost dropped his plate of beans to reach for his pistol.
You're kind of jumpy, ain't you?
Cletus directed a cold stare at Van Bergen.
It's what keeps me alive.
What the hell's the matter with him?
Who gives a damn? All he's got to do is stay alive until we collect that money. He can cough his goddamn head off for all I care.
Reckon we ought to put something on his ear.
Hell no. Leave him be. He ain't gonna bleed to death from no scratch like that. Hell, it's just a part of his ear.
Skeeter ducked his head and went over to the fireplace, taking down a tin coffee pot.
I'll go out and fetch some more snow so we can have some fresh coffee. This shit here tastes like wagon grease.
Suit yourself. Just be careful walking around out there. We don't know who's with Morgan, but we do know he's a pretty damn good shot.
Well, I won't have to go too far. Whew, it's still snowing like hell out here. I damn sure ain't took no liking to this here North Country. Be glad to get back where it's warm.
Skeeter Wolford tasted fear while he was out gathering fresh snow. There was something about Cletus Hewling that gave him a dose of worry. He saw Sammy coming toward him in the darkness after putting the horses in the shed behind the shack. Sammy walked up to him.
We best keep an eye on that Hewling feller. I don't trust a man who'll kill his partner just because he claims he got on his nerves.
I was thinking the same thing. He's liable to rob us of all the money after we get it, or kill every damn one of us in our sleep.
He's damn sure a sneaky bastard. I won't sleep a wink till this is over.
You keep your pistol handy.
I will.
Sammy glanced up and down the empty street running through the abandoned mining town, a roadway now covered with several inches of snow.
Besides that, we gotta keep an eye out for that bastard Morgan and his partner.
Just between you and me, Ned and Victor have gone plumb crazy over this whole idea. It was dumb to grab that kid again. Morgan didn't pay the last time. All he done was shoot the hell out of a bunch of us.
I don't need no reminder.
Time comes, if it don't look like Morgan intends to pay, I say we cut our losses and ride out of here.
But we come all this way.
What difference will it make how far we rode if we wind up dead?
Sammy nodded, knocking snowflakes off the brim of his hat.
Now we gotta watch out for Hewling. We're liable to be caught on two sides of a shootout.
Just don't sleep too hard. Let's get back inside before Ned gets edgy about us being gone.
They trudged through the snow to the door of the shack as the storm let up briefly. Sammy glanced over his shoulder at the rim of the valley.
Spooky place. Things just don't seem all that natural here.
Skeeter was about to open the door when he saw shapes moving on one of the slopes. He dropped the coffee pot and reached for his pistol.
Who the hell is that?
Engines!
Sammy swept back the coattails of his Mackinaw, drawing his gun.
They're too far out of range for a handgun.
I count four.
Skeeter peered into a swirling curtain of small snowflakes.
What the hell are they doing here?
Better tell the boss.
Sammy pushed the door to the shack open. Skeeter bent down to pick up the coffee pot just as the four Indians rode out of sight into a stand of pines.
Engines! We seen them just now!
Ned and Cletus rushed outside, cradling rifles. Skeeter pointed to the spot where the four riders had disappeared.
Well, they're gone now.
How many?
Wasn't but four. They was up yonder on the mountain slope.
Well, I don't see a damn thing.
They rode into them trees. Haven't seen them since.
Ned lowered the muzzle of his Winchester.
Yeah, probably just passing through. Probably the same ones I saw riding in. Like I told you, they didn't have no guns that I could see. Just sat there watching us. Now to hell with a bunch of Indians. All we need right now is to find Frank Morgan and find out how he aims to hand over that money for his kid.
Cletus and the others came inside, closing the door behind them.
May not be that easy. You say he's wounded, and he's got a sidekick. Could be we'll have to go take that money away from him now.
Frank awakened to the sweet smell of coffee, or so he thought. He tried to lift his head, using all the strength he could muster, and still he failed.
Take it easy, Frank.
For a moment, he didn't know who was speaking to him. nor did he have any idea where he was. He stopped struggling, gazing up at the same sod roof he'd seen before. Things began coming back to him.
No sense in fighting it.
Frank saw Buck Waite standing over him.
I keep blacking out.
No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't regain his senses.
You got a bad fever on that shoulder, Morgan.
Can't just lie here.
Events were coming back to him again in fragments. How he got here, the men he killed along the way, and the gunshot from behind that took him down.
That's damn near all you'll be able to do for a spell, in the shape you're in.
Girl, your daughter, she told me you overheard them talking down in the ghost town. One of them said they had Conrad.
Appears that way. He's hardly more than a boy from what I saw and heard of him.
Have they harmed him?
Looked like somebody had cut on one of his ears, but he was okay when they took him inside. I got close enough to the cabin so as I could hear him.
Bastards.
Ned Pine is damn sure a bastard. Victor Van Bergen ain't much better. There's a rough bunch they got with him, too. But the one who brung your boy is the worst, if my opinion makes any difference.
What was his name?
Cletus. I didn't stay long enough to hear him say he had a last name.
I don't know anyone who's named Cletus.
He looks like a rough customer. Carries a shotgun and a pistol. Got a Winchester, too. He didn't come all this way on no sightseeing trip.
I gotta get to Conrad before they hurt him. He's not cut from the same cloth as the rest of us. He won't stand a chance against them.
How is it that a boy of yours can't take care of himself?
We were never around each other. His mother and I were separated before he was born.
Here's some special tea, Frank. I laced it with a bit of Paul's corn squeeze so you'd like it better.
Frank pushed himself up on one elbow, noticing his left shoulder and arm were badly swollen.
That bark tea will help some. It's an old Indian remedy for fever and poisoned blood. Drink as much of it as you can.
Frank allowed Karen to hold the cup to his lips so he could take a few swallows. Despite the whiskey, the tea was bitter, harsh on his tongue. Wolf was watching him from the foot of the bed as he slowly sat up and took the cup in his right hand.
Well, the storm's let up. Those boys down in the valley ain't going nowhere. He's waiting for you to show up with money to pay for your son's release.
I'm gonna release him, all right.
Frank trembled with a curious weakness before he took several more swallows of tea and whiskey.
I'm gonna kill every one of the bastards as soon as I can walk.
Yeah, maybe a day or two.
Can't wait that long.
Frank glanced over at his rifle and pistol belt.
Seems to me you ain't got no choice.
Buck went over to a stool near the fire.
That poison in your arm is gonna keep you here.
I've had worse.
Frank moved his injured arm a bit.
They'll kill you, Frank. You can't take care of yourself in this condition. Paul, keep an eye on what's going on in the valley until you're strong enough to get on a horse.
That could be too late.
Frank flexed the fingers on his left hand, making sure he could steady his rifle with it if the occasion arose.
You won't be helping that boy of yours none if you get shot again. It's smarter to wait. You may be a stubborn mule, just don't be a stupid mule.
Frank thought about Conrad, finding it hard to believe one of Pine or Van Bergen's men rode all the way down to Durango to capture him again.
I missed my chance to kill Ned and Victor before. All I cared about at the time was getting my boy back home safe and sound.
Life is full of little mistakes.
Buck added wood to the fire.
Gives a man a whole bunch of regrets if he thinks about them too long.
Frank sipped the scalding, bitter tea and continued to brood.
I'll get them. I swear to you, I'll get them all this time.
You ain't gonna get nothing but a grave marker unless you wait for that arm to heal some. That's a bad wound.
My son's life is more important.
Listen to me, Morgan.
Buck picked up the jug of whiskey.
The men down yonder in that valley are bad hombres. The killing kind. If you go after them before you're ready to handle yourself, that kid of yours will die. And so will you. I know that bunch. They come up here mighty regular to hide out from the law.
I know their type.
Frank thought back over his years as a gunfighter.
They don't scare me. If I can sit my horse, I can get them.
Won't be so simple. They know you're up here in these mountains now. They'll be expecting you. You lost the element of surprise.
I know.
Frank watched Karen move away from him and was momentarily distracted.
Suppose I should be more grateful for what the two of you have done for me. I'd probably be dead in this snow somewhere if it hadn't been for you. I appreciate what you've done for me. I won't forget it either.
We don't need thanks. We just want you to wait here until you can travel. And then, well, I told you when we first met I came up here to get away from killing and such after the war. But in your case, I'll make an exception. I'll help you get your boy back.
I wasn't asking.
I know. Just call it something I've made up my mind to do.
Again, I'm obliged to both of you.
Buck gave him a stern look.
Drink the damn tea. I didn't go out in this god-awful storm to fetch back bark if you ain't gonna drink the tea from it.
Frank drank half the cup, feeling better as the minutes passed. He noticed that Karen was rolling out dough on a small table.
Are you baking a pie in the dead of winter?
Making biscuits.
I wish I could tell you I was hungry.
Oh, you will be. As soon as you smell them turtlehead biscuits my girl makes. Put them in a Dutch oven on top of this stove. We've got Fatback to go with them, and a dab of good cane syrup.
Maybe I'll be hungry after all.
Frank gazed around the cabin. Skins and antlers were used for wall decorations on the logs, along with a rusty trap or two.
Drink your tea. It'll bring your fever down in no time.
Whiskey helps.
She returned his smile with one of her own. And he was reminded again how pretty she was. Frank became aware Buck was watching him. He took his eyes off Karen.
I'll hand it to you, Morgan.
How's that?
When you get your mind set on something, you stay hell-bent in that direction.
You talking about going after my son?
Buck nodded.
I don't see how a father can do things any other way.
That's the way you aim to go about it. There's still 10 or 12 men down in that shack. A man with good sense would have brought some help.
I always worked alone.
Why?
Safer that way. Don't have to worry about being double-crossed by a partner.
Back in the war, we counted on having men who kept a watch on our backsides.
Graveyards all over the south and the north are full of men who were counting on someone to watch behind them.
But a man can't live his entire lifetime alone, Morgan. You gotta learn to trust somebody.
Maybe. Maybe not. I'm still alive because I learned to trust myself and nobody else. It may sound strange, it may sound hard. I mean, no offense, Buck, but it's kept me out of a cemetery.
Karen dropped her cast iron pan full of biscuits on top of the stove.
Some folks can be trusted.
Frank examined the crude bandage around his shoulder while he thought about what the girl said.
I reckon I just haven't found anyone like that.
She was staring at him now.
Maybe you just don't look hard enough, Frank Morgan.
I suppose.
Wolf came over to him and licked his hand, his liquid eyes on his master.
I suppose I trust this dog.
Karen wheeled away from him. She began cutting strips of salt pork into a smaller frying pan.
Men aren't good judges of character.
No, I reckon not. Though I think I'm a real good judge of bad characters.
A pine knot popped in the stove. For a while, all three of them were silent. Until Buck brought Frank the jug of whiskey.
If I was you, I'd drink some more of this. And another cup of tea.
I'll do it. Right now, I don't much care which one of them cures me. All I care about is a cure.
Buck moved over to the door, picking up his rifle.
I'm gonna go have a look around. Done the best I could at covering our tracks and your blood in the snow. But a man can't be too careful. Be back in a little while. Have to make sure we ain't been followed out of that valley.
Frank was lost in thought and didn't answer. He was thinking of another man, Tin Pan Rushing. Just like Buck, Tin Pan helped Frank get Conrad away from Ned Pine. And just like Buck, he helped simply because he thought it was the right thing to do. Karen watched Frank drift away and came over to sit beside him.
Are you feeling any better? Seemed like you drifted off for a moment.
I was just remembering another gent who helped me get my son back the first time I went after him.
He gazed at a window for a moment.
Hope your pa won't be too long out there.
Coy Klein was riding his horse up a snow-laden slope when he heard the crack of a rifle. Something struck his breastbone with tremendous force.
What the hell was that, Buster?
A bullet, Bug! Goddamn idiot!
Buster Pate reined his bay into the trees.
Son of a...
Bud gripped his belly as a piece of hot metal passed through him, exiting next to his spine. He threw his pistol into the snow to hold on to the saddle horn with both hands.
I'm shot!
Bud toppled out of the saddle into a snowdrift. Buster jumped off his horse. A sharpshooter from above was taking pot shots at them in the dark.
Help me, Buster!
Bud Warren's call came from a dark place between two lines of trees. Buster didn't answer him. Only a fool would give his position away in the dark.
You gotta help me!
Buster ignored Coy's call from the inky darkness.
Screw him.
The shots came from more than 200 yards away. It would take a hell of a marksman to make that kind of shot at night, and a very large bore rifle to boot.
Morgan?
Buster gripped the stock of his rifle with gloved hands. He was sure they were following Frank Morgan's trail of blood out of the valley, but now he wasn't so sure. Who the hell was shooting at them?
You gotta help me! I'm shot through the chest! I'm bleeding real bad!
Jesus! I'm dying over here! You boys gotta help me!
Buster was only thinking of surviving the sharpshooter himself. He lay still for a moment.
Where are you at, Buster?
Buster wasn't about to answer him and make a target of himself.
Damn!
It was proof Buster was wise to remain silent until he knew where the rifleman was.
Please, help me. I can't move my damn legs no more.
Buster wanted to make sure his legs would move as he made his way back down the slope. He said nothing, closing his ears to Bud's cries. He could hear Coy strangling on blood. Under better circumstances, he would have offered his old partner some assistance, but not now. He knew with certainty his life was at stake.
Where you at, Buster? You gotta come help me.
Buster hunkered down to wait. Bud Warren was nothing but a hired killer in the first place, and someone at the top of the valley was giving him his just due, a payback after years as a gunman.
If only we hadn't followed the smell of that damn smoke. I'm dying.
Send my share of the money to my mom back in Texas.
Buster grinned, although there was little real humor behind it. No one in Ned Pine's bunch would send a share of the money anywhere, if they got their hands on the money at all. It was beginning to look like the ransom money for Conrad Browning was going to be hard to collect.
And Morgan may be as tough as they say he used to be. He's a damn sure hard sumbitch to kill, if you ask me.
Buster went looking for his horse. Ned and Victor should know what happened while they were following Frank Morgan's blood trail. Ned glared at Buster.
What the hell do you mean, he got all of you?
He got Coy and Bud. Shot him right off the backs of their horses. I made it down the slope, but I was dodging lead the whole time.
In the dark?
Dark as pitch, boss.
I thought you told me Morgan was wounded, that you found blood.
We did. He's got somebody with him. Don't know who the hell was doing the shooting, but he could damn sure hit what he aims at.
Victor Van Bergen was standing at a window.
That bastard!
Cletus Hewling strode over to the fire to get more beans from the pot.
I'll handle Morgan. You raised my share to 15,000.
You're too goddamn greedy. You agreed to 10,000.
Yeah. It don't appear any of us is gonna collect a damn dime unless we find Morgan. And even then, we ain't sure he's got the money.
He wants this boy.
Cletus gave Ned a steely stare.
After all I've been through getting this kid up here, I better get the money you promised me in that telegram, Ned. If I don't, I'm gonna kill you and Victor and every other gunslick you got left. If you have any left after Morgan gets through with you, he's killing off your boys faster than you can keep tracking the number.
You can't talk to me like that, Cletus.
Like hell I can't. I've killed better men than any of you. I'll kill every sumbitch in this valley unless I get my money.
You'll never get us all.
Cletus calmly placed his right hand near his pistol.
Time will tell. If I get the money you promised me, there won't be no trouble.
Victor's eyes strayed to Ned's. They both knew how dangerous Cletus could be. It was one reason they contacted him to capture the Browning boy.
Take it easy, Cletus. No call to get so riled up.
Boys, I'm not riled, and I won't be riled, so long as I get my damn money.
Cletus took a spoonful of beans and shoveled them into his mouth.
That's the only reason I'm here.
He stood chewing without taking his eyes from either Ned or Victor, his back to the wall beside the hearth. Ned looked at Buster.
Are you sure Coy and Bud are dead?
Same as dead. Coy couldn't hardly talk, and Bud was crying like a sugar-tit baby. I damn sure wasn't gonna look for him with Morgan shooting down on us the way he did just now.
What makes you so sure it was Morgan?
Victor kept an eye on Cletus as he walked over to the fire to warm his back and hands.
Well, I ain't. Only whoever it was could damn sure shoot in the dark.
Morgan brought somebody with him this time.
Sounds like it. A wounded feller ain't gonna have the best aim. You said you found blood in the snow and two sets of footprints.
We did.
Reckon one of them Injuns I saw when we rode in is helping him?
Them Injuns don't help nobody. We hardly ever see him around here. He ain't never come down and talk to us.
How come they hang around here?
Nobody knows. We ask folks down in Glenwood Springs. They tell stories about him.
What kind of stories?
Ned looked down at his boots a moment.
About how they're called the old ones, the ones who came before. Some of the old-timers around here claim they're Anasazi, the Injuns who built all them old mud houses up on the bluffs.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Ned seemed reluctant to answer right at first.
They've all been dead for hundreds of years, Cletus, or so the locals tell it.
So that's where them ghost stories come from?
Most likely.
Now, some bitch shooting at me and Coy and Bud wasn't no ghost. Leastways, the bullets was real enough to knock them off their horses.
It was Morgan.
Now, that's the way I got it figured.
Cletus walked over to the door and opened it a crack. For a time, he stared out at the snowy night.
What are you doing, Cletus?
I may not wait for him to come to us.
What?
I may go after him myself.
That'd be plumb crazy. He's just waiting up there in that rim for one of us to try it.
Wait until it gets light. That way you can see his tracks.
I ain't much on waiting. Not when I'm owed $10,000.
But you won't know where to look.
When you're hunting a man, it's easy to know where to look.
Suit yourself on it, Cletus. Only be sure to bring us our part of the money if you find him.
Are you saying I double-cross you, Vic?
No. Didn't mean that at all.
Ned went to the door and peered out.
It stopped snowing, looks like. The man would be easier to find now.
Buster shuffled off to a corner of the fireplace.
You best have eyes in the back of your head. Morgan or whoever it was can see like a cat at night.
I was born with eyes in the back of my head.
Cletus shouldered into his Mackinaw.
That's how come I'm still alive.
You want us to send some of the boys with you, Cletus?
Hell no. It'd only be in the way.
Find out where Morgan's hiding. Then come get the rest of us, and we'll kill him and sack up all that damn money.
Cletus picked up his rifle.
I'll let you know if I find him.
And the money.
Victor glanced at the Browning boy tied to a chair. Cletus moved to the door and prepared to go outside.
One thing don't figure.
What's that?
If Morgan brought all that money up here to get his son back, and how come he ain't just sent word to you that he's ready to pay?
Ned and Victor gave each other questioning looks.
We ain't set eyes on him yet.
Cletus wasn't convinced.
Don't sound to me like he intends to pay that ransom at all.
Why the hell is he here?
To kill every last one of you. By the way he's been acting since I got here, it don't appear he's in no money-paying mood.
Buck came back to the cabin an hour before dawn. He came through the door soundlessly while Frank was drinking another cup of whiskey and bark tea. Karen sat near him in a hide-bottomed chair.
I got two of them. They was following the smell of our smoke from this here fire.
Two?
One of them got away. It was hard to see in that forest down yonder, but I don't figure it'll be long before more of them start looking for us up here.
Frank tossed the wool blanket off his shoulders, flexing his bad arm.
Hand me my shirt, Karen. I think I can pull on my boots.
You ain't strong enough, Morgan.
I reckon I'm about to find out.
Don't do it, Frank.
I got no choice. Pine and Van Bergen know I'm here, and they're sending men after me now.
Studying himself, he put his cup of tea and whiskey on the dirt floor and pushed himself upright.
Hand me my shirt.
Here. I can handle them if they don't come all at once.
Not your responsibility. It's mine.
Frank struggled to put on his shirt.
It's me they want, and the ransom money they think I'm carrying.
You didn't bring any ransom money, did you?
Nope, just a load of lead for what they done. I intend to pay them in hot, hard metal.
I'll go out and saddle your horse.
It'll be light soon.
I'd be obliged.
Frank ignored the pain as he finished buttoning the front of his shirt, stepped into one stovepipe boot and then the other.
This is crazy.
Karen watched Frank struggle to get dressed.
Maybe. Now, if you'll hand me my coat and that Winchester in the corner, there's a box of shells in my saddlebag.
And what if I won't?
Karen stood, arms folded across her chest. Frank pretended he didn't hear her.
I may have to have you help me strap my gun belt on.
Wolf whimpered softly, sensing his master's pain, coming over to him to lick the back of his hand.
You can go, Wolf. Two sets of eyes are better than one.
Wolf trotted over to the door as soon as Buck went out to saddle the bay.
Please don't do this, Frank.
This is business, Karen. Dirty business. Not of my own making. My only son is down in that valley now. What kind of father would I be if I didn't go after him?
But you're hurt bad.
I've been hurt bad before. Takes a hell of a lot more than one bullet to kill me, if it don't go in at the right place.
You're hard-headed, Frank Morgan.
He eased into his Mackinaw.
So I've been told. My ma used to tell me the same thing nearly every day. Now help me strap on that gun belt.
I'll never understand men.
I never met a woman who did.
She reached around him to buckle on his cartridge belt just below the top of his denims.
Thanks.
For reasons he couldn't explain at the time, he bent down and kissed her lightly on the lips. She returned his kiss and stepped back. And now there was a trace of a smile on her face.
That was nice, Frank. You come back so we can do that again.
I have every intention of coming back.
Just make sure you do.
He walked over to the doorway, his back hunched against the pane pulsing through his chest. Frank was certain if he could get on his horse, he could make it. Bud Warren lay in the snow, fighting back waves of nausea. The hole in his lower abdomen felt like it was on fire. When his fingers touched the area, they came back wet. He knew it was blood.
Oh, are you there, Coy?
Coy didn't answer him the first time.
Coy! Coy!
And then a shadow moved in the darkness, standing over him now.
Is that you, Coy?
Why do you come here?
That ain't you, Coy. Who the hell are you?
I am a keeper of this valley.
A keeper? What the hell is that supposed to mean? Are you Frank Morgan?
I do not know this Frank Morgan.
Then, what's your damn name?
I am called Esau.
What kind of name is that? I can't see you real good. It's too damn dark.
In your language, it is the word for coyote.
In my language? What the hell are you talking about, stranger? You're Morgan. If I could find my gun, I'd kill you right here now.
I am not Morgan. You will not kill me. You have no weapon and you are dying.
I ain't dying. I got a hole in my belly. That's all it is.
You will die.
You ain't no damn doctor. And you got a real stupid name.
I will be the one who kills you.
Bud raised his head off the snow, blinking furiously to clear his eyes. He saw a man dressed in buckskins with a bow and arrow.
You're a damn Injun.
I am Anasazi.
Bud saw an arrow being fitted to the bow.
What the hell is an Anasazi?
Who the hell was this Indian?
Ah!
Bud felt something pierce his chest, pinning him to the ground. The last thing he saw before his eyes batted shut was the Indian holding a bow with a quivering bowstring. Was the Indian Morgan's sidekick? But the Indian, who called himself Anasazi, wasn't carrying a rifle. Bud felt his body rising off the ground, spinning in lazy circles.
What the hell is going on?
A slender figure dressed in deerskin leggings and a deerskin shirt bent over Bud, jerking his arrow from Bud's ribcage with one savage pull.
Sleep, White Eyes.
Esa turned away quickly with the bloody arrow in his fist. He mounted a piebald pony and disappeared into the pine forest as dawn brightened the eastern horizon.